keep it nice and toasty inside. And it can help reduce climate warming pollution. If the home is heated with fuel oil or natural gas, saving energy decreases a homeowner's use of fossil fuels. The DOE has created a webpage that can help do-it-yourselfers figure out which energy-saving projects will offer the biggest bang for their buck. It includes step-by-step directions, the skill level required, approximate prices, and the amount of energy that can be saved by completing each project. So homeowners can decide which projects to tackle in order to help keep their home warm when the temperatures turn cold. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
You've been listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, October 30th, 2023. It's a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our producer and director for tonight's newscast is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Reed Johnson, Eric Tegadoff, Antonia Gonzalez, Edwin J. Vieira, Mike Bowen, Ross Brown, and Alex Gonzalez. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO on KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Ron Bronson.
And I'm Michelle Coppola. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members, awesome people like you. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, please go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News In Depth. We'll be speaking with the directors of the QDoc Film Fest, showing films this weekend at the Hollywood Theater. Have a great night.
This is Dr. Demento, and you are listening to the KBOO News, the only news you need.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
I'm so sick of being stressed about this. I just want to have the goddamn surgery and at least get that stress out of the way.
I think he was truly original.
There is such a breadth to his work.
He created magic with his camera.
The legacy he left with these pictures is so profound.
And it's an honor to introduce this woman. He is the most renowned black poet this world has ever seen. There is no you without this goddess.
So you're sort of a prophet.
I would hate to think of myself as being a prophet. Prophets die.
Jewel the great storyteller. Jewel the great truth teller.
The way she holds herself and the way she writes from her truth.
The Gilda stories pushed the boundaries of what had been in print before. Why hadn't it not occurred to anybody that the perfect vampire would be a black lesbian?
If
we don't put our money where our mouth is and make this as inclusive as possible, we're just any other club.
This is not what I imagine the footy club to be like.
People have always talked about my body. I was too skinny, too loud, too flamboyant.
We spend a lot of time trying to find our home in the world, and that's exactly what you seem to be working towards.
Yeah, you did that kind of weird-ish here, and well, I don't know, people would have been real cruel.
There was something about the way that you played with gender expression and really let it get messy and delightful and fun.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm here with Molly King and Deb Kemp from QDoc, the Portland Queer Documentary Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater from November 3rd through 5th. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hi there.
We are delighted to have you with us. So you're part of the team behind QDoc Film Fest. If our listeners haven't been to the festival in the past, what can they expect? Give us the overview.
You bet.
Yeah, sure. So we are a queer documentary film festival. We're in our 15th year this year, which is pretty exciting. And we have, if I get this right, 12 films over a three-day period, one on Friday night, and then a collection of films on both Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of November. And yeah, we're just celebrating our 15th year back at the Hollywood Theatre for another great year of QDoc filming.
One of our claims to fame is the fact that we are one of the only film festivals in the world. We're the only film festival in North America and one of only two in the world dedicated to LGBTQ plus documentaries specifically.
Very cool. So can you give us a little bit of the history of the festival? You mentioned you've been around 15 years.
Yeah, sure. So the festival was started actually by two fabulous gentlemen, David Weissman and Russ Gage, and they just saw that there was a real need for a documentary-only festival. They'd both been quite involved either as film directors or in the Frameline Festival down in San Francisco. So they brought the concept to Portland and just ran with it, and the audience and our community seemed to really embrace the concept.
Well, what does your guys' role look like in creating the festival, behind the scenes, everything that goes into it now that we're right before the big event?
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, we've been involved with the festival for, it's been almost a decade now, and we were involved as volunteers and supporters, and working closely with David and Russ, and then we took over the fest, I think, in 2016, 17. Had a bit of a hiatus there with for 2 years. So technically in our...
Wait, why?
Technically, we're in our 17th year, but it's the 15th festival. And our role is, we are in charge of all the programming, all the logistics, and you name it. So we're a team of two full-time for the festival, and then we have an incredible group of volunteers leading up and on the day that we're so lucky that these folks have been with us, some of them from the very beginning.
How long is the process going into this?
You know, honestly, it's almost year-round. Content is coming out constantly, and of course things have changed a little bit with streaming. But we really start seriously looking at our programming decisions probably about 6 months out.
Yeah, what makes us a little bit different from some film festivals is it's a curated film festival, so we don't actually request submissions. So we're typically keeping in touch with directors, other film festivals, producers, film distributors, and we tend to see about 75 to 100 films before we make our decision. So yeah, like I was saying, we've got 12, I think it is, specific spots and a bunch of short films. So I think our total film count is 18 this year. So we get down from about 100 films to close to 18.
I was gonna say you must be very well read, but like the film version, well seen, or I don't know. Maybe,
very well seen.
Maybe you've thought about what that idiom can be. Well, yeah, so let's dive into the lineup a little bit. You've got 18 films playing across 3 days. What are you starting with on opening night?
Yeah, opening night is it's pretty exciting for us, actually. We have a great film called Transition, and it specifically focuses on a trans man filmmaker who's also a journalist for the New York Times. His name is Jordan Byron. He's actually currently based in Sarajevo. However, he spent a lot of time in Afghanistan. And this film is about him transitioning while he's on a project working with the New York Times to interview and spend time with the Taliban as the fall of Kabul was in place. So it's incredibly moving. It's very gripping. It's very candid filming and content of his personal experiences and relationships and how his transitioning, you know, is managed during that process from a safety and respect perspective. So we've been working really hard on trying to get Jordan to fly in from Sarajevo and join us, and he is actually confirmed for opening night, so which is really, really epic. So he's Australian, so he'll have another great fun accent. So he's an Australian trans man film director, journalist for New York Times. So yeah, we're really excited about opening night, and that's at 6:45 on Friday.
And it should be a really, I think, a really gripping and timely conversation that happens afterward as well. And Tim DeRoche from World Oregon is also going to join us for that conversation. So we're really looking forward to that Q&A.
Very cool. Yeah, I watched the trailer for that one and immediately on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. It is literally that.
Indeed. I think we've seen that trailer about, I don't know, over a dozen times and still gives me chills.
Yeah. Well, what about closing night? If we can jump to that part of the fest.
Yeah, absolutely. So closing night, we're really lucky to have an incredible film about activist poet Nikki Giovanni. It's called Going to Mars. It is beautifully produced. The soundtrack is incredible. And it really just celebrates Nikki's life and all of their amazing activism, their poetry and their vitality and their like constant struggle to really defend black rights, queer rights, and obviously her amazing poetry. So as far as a documentary, like an artistic expression as well is concerned, that is certainly a highlight. I think it's a really good chance that's going to get some a series of awards. That documentary is just so strong in production.
Mm-hmm. And it is going to be incredible to see that film on the big screen. I mean, Deb and I have watched that film 4 times, and just because we love all the films and we're so proud of this lineup, but to be able to see these films, particularly that film, on the big screen is just going to be fantastic. And we're also excited too because we have local poet Portland poet via Philly, Little Blue, joining us for a reading prior to the screening, and we're looking forward to that.
Very cool, very cool. So with these 18 films over 3 days, picking them out, are there consistent themes, or do you ever consider, I guess, theming the entire festival or things like that?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. You start off watching so many films, and then, like you said, fashionable, I guess it would be not quite the right word for it, but consistent themes do come through every year. And so this year has been really interesting to see so many films focused on visual or identity, and not so much chosen identity or expressed identity, but presentation and how identity and presentation are interwoven. So how I project or look to somebody, how much that dictates what they think about my queerness or my, my age or my vitality. There's a really great film called The Floating Man that we're screening on Saturday. I'm going to double check that. And it really challenges, especially for queer folk, what our visual, how our visual identity projects, and what conclusions are drawn by that visual identity. So, visual identity and messing with it was a very consistent theme that came through in a lot of the films we saw this year. What do you think?
Yeah, indeed. I also think, obviously, activism, usually shines through in almost all of our programming. Being that our community has had to fight for their rights and continue to have to fight for their rights. So activism is certainly an ongoing theme here as well. What would you say some other ones are?
Yeah, I think celebrating people, you know, celebrating key queer people in history, always again a consistent theme, but very much celebrating black, strong women, lesbians. We had a lot of excellent films about particularly, you know, people of colour, particularly lesbians. We've often been quite short on lesbian content. And so this year was really neat to see both Nikki Giovanni and also Jewel Gomez, obviously author of The Guild of Stories and poet and activist, being celebrated. So, yeah, so those were the two that we chose from that selection. And from a queer gay male perspective, the film Hidden Master about George Platt Lyons, who's an incredible photographer. I think, you know, that's again just an unknown hero for a lot of people, and he really did kick off what is more, you know, more seen as a new way of photography in the fashion world, and then also celebrating the gay and straight male nude. So really, you know, we do tend to see it every year, but I think this year it was really cool to see strong black lesbian historic figures being celebrated and brought to attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, art as a tool of activism. So whether that is in the written form as poetry, or in the written form as fiction and nonfiction, or in the photography form, or even in the painted form, one of our short films, Private View, is about a lesbian artist, Sadie Lee, who paints a portrait of a non-binary subject, and the reveal that happens to that in how someone, going along the themes that Deb spoke to earlier, how do we perceive others, and how do we perceive ourselves, and why does it matter? Mm. And we definitely saw that theme continuing throughout so many of the films, even in Not Quite That, which is a film that we have that kicks off Saturday morning, paired with one of our world premieres.
Yes, it's true.
The called The Letter League. Again, those just really emphasizing that theme of identity.
From your perspective, right, as kind of the curators of this documentary film fest, are there aspects of filmmaking as a medium that you think lend itself particularly well to queer storytelling?
That's a great question. You know, I think when you see the programming here, and what you've seen in programming in the past for QDoc, is ultimately it's about the story. Right, it's and sometimes that story is a talking head sharing their story bravely, just you and the camera. And other times that story is maybe conveyed better through imagery, whether that's animation or cinematography or landscape. So I think at the core of it all, this is about, you know, how do we tell these stories. And I think what's always so impressive for us is the creativeness behind these filmmakers, the braveness of the subjects, and then the creativity of these filmmakers and how they choose to convey that story. Sometimes sometimes less is more, and sometimes more is more. So
Yeah, I don't know if everybody's familiar with the phrase talking heads. Is that something you've heard before?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So, and it's quite big. Sometimes you see a lot of documentaries, and a lot of times, to Molly's point, the story is really strong, but we're often looking also for different formats. And so we try not to have too many of the same types of films in the way that they're executed. I don't know that makes it specific to queer documentaries. I think it just might be documentaries as whole, but that's a really good question. I'm going to think about that.
I watching through the trailers and what you've described, documentary really isn't just one thing. I mean, I think that really does shine through. And maybe, I don't know if you think documentaries get a bad rap, but I think maybe people give it an erudite rap.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
That it might not be, you know, as approachable as other types of film. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for entertaining that question. Well, throughout the rest of the films, do you have any that are geared towards youth and younger experiences?
Yeah, we do. Actually, we have a film by Jen Markowitz from Canada called Summer Camp. And that is on Saturday, November 4th at 3:45. And Summer Camp is a delightful film about a camp specifically for LGBTQ youth. It's a Y camp that's taken over by several dozen campers and camp counselors from the LGBTQ community, and also elders are brought in to mentor these youth. And the whole premise is this is a space where you can feel yourself. And these kids, so many of them have not felt like them felt like their true selves or been around folks like themselves because they've been bullied or ostracized or have had to, you know, have been kicked out of school or kicked out of home. And then they find their home in this camp called Summer Camp. And it's a really special film.
Yeah, I was going to say, really encourage everybody, you know, especially bring the kids to that film, or, you know, just enjoy it, obviously, as older adults as well. We do, throughout QDOC, our entire program provides free tickets to anyone age 23 or younger. So, you know, really would love to see as many people at all of the screenings, but particularly that one. So if you're 23 or younger, jump onto our website and we'll tell you what it is in a bit. But, you know, you can just, you know, fire away, order some tickets to as many films as you like, and that's the same for anyone aged 75 or over as well. And we do student discount and another discount for 62 to 75 year olds. But yeah, we'd love to see as many younger people at the festival throughout the festival as possible.
There's kind of no reason not to, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, you mentioned a little bit earlier some of the guests that you have for some of these films. Q&As are a part of what your film festival is all about. Who is joining this year?
Yeah, well, we've got, as we mentioned, we've got Jordan Bryan coming in from Sarajevo for opening night, which is super cool. We have Jill Gomez herself actually coming in as well. Right. which is really neat. We have a bunch of directors and subjects for Not Quite That and for The Letter League that will be introducing their films. We certainly have a busy lineup this year, and so we're trying to get as many people onto the stage and as many films on the screen. So yeah, we have 18 people, I think, flying in total for films. But something we really want to call attention to, you're obviously familiar with Mary Lambert. She's absolutely amazing. Mary will be joining us for a screening of a film called 1946, The Mistranslation That Shifted Culture, which is an incredibly interesting documentary about the misuse of the word homosexual. Strongly encourage anyone who's interested in that particular topic to come along. But in addition, Mary Lambert actually wrote the score for that film. It's screening at 5:30 on Saturday, and we are very, very, very stoked to have Mary join us. She'll be playing 3 tracks, I think.
At least
on stage live. So if you're a big Mary Lambert fan, come and see us.
And for folks who might not be familiar with Mary Lambert, she's two-time Grammy-nominated, multi-platinum artist. One of the first times kind of she hit the map was with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis for Same Love. And she's an incredible composer, arranger, artist herself, and a wonderful activist in the queer community. And we're just thrilled to have her join us.
That's awesome. Well, as I've been mentioning, because I've got trailers on the brain, I went through all of the ones on your website. Is there a film that you two are the most excited for audiences to see in particular? Obviously, there's quite a few.
Yeah, that's always such a hard question. Yeah. I think from an if I take sort of different angle, for me, from an artistic film execution perspective, I think Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni project, I just never get sick of watching it. As Molly said, we've watched it 4 times. It's just such a beautiful film about such an incredible person. So that's a definite favourite for me. From an artistic execution perspective, along with probably Private View, final short film, it's just so poignantly produced. So yeah, that'd be 2 for me. How about for you?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like picking your favorite kids, right? Like, we're just
rude.
So
it's rude of me to ask.
Yeah. But, you know, the dynamic conversation that takes place after films, you know, I'm really looking forward to the conversation with Jordan and Tim from World Oregon, and the audience interaction on that film for opening night. I also think that it'll be interesting to chat in the lobby with folks after the world premiere of The Letter League and Not Quite That. Two different films, but with discussion points that I think are going to be quite conversational. The Floating Man, with Michael W. Smith leading the Q&A after that, is Michael V. Smith, will be, he's so fun. And so I think that that's going to be like visually really entertaining. And he almost has this following, like there's this group of radical fairies that are,
I love him.
And I think being amongst that energy is going to be really special.
What do you hope folks get out of the film festival?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think what we always hope for, and we get so often as feedback, is just a thanks. Thanks for letting us be amongst our community and listening to stories that either open minds or reinforce why our community is so wonderful. So we just hope everybody actually gets a really great sense of pleasure. Obviously education, super helpful, but just a sense of belonging and a sense of joy is really, I think, our goal.
Yeah, I think to add to that is just, I think the word community always comes up, you know, community that's there and community that's created. And so I think, you know, we always say that seeing ourselves on screen and seeing our identities on screen is so important, and it sometimes can be life-saving. And it also is so important to keep telling these stories to our young people. Because our history is important. And so I think that sense of like empathy and shared humanity, maybe that's too lofty of a thing to hope for, but I hope everyone has a good time gathering with some really good people, watching some incredible stories unfold on screen at a wonderful venue like the Hollywood Theater.
Yeah. Well, if our listeners are interested in learning more about the festival, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, jump online, qdocfilmfest.org. That's probably the best way. We're going to have programs. So if you come along to any film, you'll be able to also pick up a printed program if you prefer to read things in the, you know, physical format. But if not, yeah, jump online to qdocfilmfest.org, or you can find us on Instagram under qdocfilmfest, or on Facebook, or, you know, most of the socials. That should give you everything you need. And if you have any specific questions, you can reach us through the website as well.
Yep. Send an email to info@qdocfilmfest.org. It goes directly to Deb and I, so we're the ones answering the emails, and we're happy to help anybody who has any questions, and we just look forward to seeing everyone there.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? Anything we didn't get to mention?
No, just come. Take advantage of all these free tickets too. Don't be shy.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. What Deb said, come to the fest, have a beverage, ask some questions, enjoy some films, and I guess final thoughts, thank you, KBOO, for being such an awesome radio station and such an awesome asset to the community here in Portland.
Right on.
Yeah, thank you both so much for your time. KBOO appreciates you.
Yay.
I've been speaking with Molly King and Deb Kemp from QDoc, the Portland Queer Documentary Film Festival, at the Hollywood Theater from November 3rd through 5th. More information is online at qdocfilmfest.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Matthew.
KBOO Portland. To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. The topic for tonight's show is UAW 492, Beaverton Stellantis workers on strike. We're talking tonight with Frank Vanek and Grant Wagner, production workers and shop steward at the Stellantis Auto Parts plant here in Beaverton. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host. So I'm here out on the picket line of the auto workers at Stellantis.